going to start right off with some music from my first guest, and then Dave Drury will tell you why we're playing his music. Thanks for being here, folks. Dave Drury, my guest, and Dave is here with me because he has put together a beautiful concert for tomorrow evening, that's February 3rd, at 7 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center in Astoria, that's 16th and Franklin. The concert is called Unexpected Amenities, and I'm going to let him tell you why. And he has guests, and I'm going to let him tell you who, including, I understand there might even be a singer involved there. Is that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, Dave, welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
I was just saying, how wouldn't it be nice if Dave returned to being a jazz programmer here at Coast Community Radio.
Oh boy, it would. I love it.
Okay. Did you hear that, folks?
Hey.
Start bugging him, telling him we want him on the air. Before I go any further, though, I do need to announce there is a major accident on US 101 in Warrenton around Marlin Avenue. Expect delays. So if you know an alternate route, it's probably best to take it. This is US 101 in Warrenton around Marlin Avenue. We'll give you updates when we get them. So, Dave, the Unexpected Amenities, I want to thank you, first of all, because I understand this is in support. This is part of At the Pack for the Pack,
right.
Our series to support the Pack, the Performing Arts Center, the wonderful building where so much has gone on for so many years in the arts and culture and humanities in this area. And there's a bunch of folks trying to keep that building in the community's hands, or at least decisions. And you're doing your part.
I keep trying. Yeah.
Yes, this like is not the first time.
Everyone else.
Absolutely, yeah. This is not the first time. So, Unexpected Amenities tomorrow evening. What are we going to hear? Beautiful music.
Oh.
What was that we just heard?
That was a piece I wrote called Forever. And that was just a solo recording, obviously, of me playing guitar. But we'll be performing it as one of the tunes on the list I have here for the set list.
And okay. Now, who's the we?
Well, we have Dave Capteen on bass. He's an amazing bass player.
Mm-hmm.
People will get a program and be able to review his credentials. He's played with Mose Allison, a whole bunch of people in the past.
He's been here before.
Yeah, we've done some things together here, and he works regularly with Tom Grant in Portland two nights a week. And he's come, actually, the KMUN fundraiser they did at the Liberty a few years ago with Tom.
Right.
Dave played in that one, too.
Okay. And I knew his name was familiar, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so he is on what instrument?
Bass, uh-huh. He'll be playing upright bass and electric bass.
Okay.
There'll be some variety in there.
Good. I'm glad to hear that, because when I was reading it, that's why I let you say it, I read string bass and bass guitar, and I'm going,
right.
Okay, so aren't they both bass guitars, and don't they both have strings?
Oh, goodness,
but, the stand-up, is that the one that's called the string bass?
Mm-hmm,
the stand-up?
String bass.
Okay, that's my favorite, of course.
There's so many names for everything nowadays, but he's a phenomenal upright bass player. That's kind of his real, I shouldn't say it's his forte, he does everything wonderfully. And he's what first called studio musician. All these guys are called to play in Portland, but they travel the world too. So
how does that work?
Well, they're based there, but they will get calls from people.
For an album, for example, or for a concert? Or
concerts, usually, yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Somebody needs a top-of-the-line bass player, mm-hmm. so they've got his name.
Yeah, and they'll take off for Europe for a couple weeks or two a month and come back.
Do we then need to understand that people are playing standards, that anyone who's skilled in the language can step into?
Right.
Or are they given one day of rehearsals
to learn
new music, or how does that work?
Well, we are going to rehearse too, and have. But they're of the caliber and knowledge where they pick things up fast. And to put this together, to expedite things too, I sent them recordings, and I even did current recordings of me playing guitar to get the right feel and the mm-hmm, right mood. Mm-hmm. And I sent them charts. Lead sheets of the songs, too, because a lot of them are originals we're going to do.
That was my next question. So these are mostly your originals?
There's about seven of them on this list,
Do any of the others write?
They do, yeah.
But not for this concert.
Not for this concert. We should have.
Okay. Now, who else? That's Dave Capteen.
Oh, and Rob Davis is a saxophonist. Mm-hmm. He plays tenor and soprano sax.
Okay.
He plays other reeds, too, but those are his primary instruments.
And also from Portland.
Yeah.
These are all Portland folks.
Yeah, I lived in Seattle for a long time, too. All of these guys have master's degrees in multiple musical degrees. Performance and education.
Did they do that early in their...
Yeah.
At a high school, they went to college, and then they went on. Mm-hmm, and then they went into being professionals.
Yeah, because they've been playing professionally for 30, 40 years now. Mm-hmm.
Well, give us the third person, the percussionist, and then I want to know about you.
Okey-doke.
What's your background? Who's the one who is playing, not the one who isn't?
Right, yeah. Scott Cuthbert is playing drums. He actually played and recorded with a group called Everclear back in the 80s. They were a popular band that had significant notoriety with their recordings released nationally. But he also was in director of bands in the Astoria.
I thought the name was familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh,
yeah.
Cool. And now, does he live in Astoria?
He does live here.
Oh, very
now.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you were able to snag him.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And he's a wonderful drummer.
Very nice. Well, Dave Drury, what? after you just told me about all these multiple degrees and stuff, what's your background in music?
Oh, gosh, I took anything that come along. No. I went to ASU as a music major.
What's ASU?
Arizona State University.
Oh, thank you.
Had to march in the marching band in 110 degrees.
So. Oh, Lord. Oh, my goodness.
But I was only 20 at the time.
And what were you playing?
I had to play trombone back then.
Okay.
They didn't have guitar as a major instrument.
I didn't think so. Yeah. So, and when did you switch to guitar? And do you play other instruments at this point or strictly guitar?
Well, I've kind of let the trombone go. I played all the parts on an album we did for RCA entitled Mirth, M-Y-R-T-H.
Oh, yeah.
But I had played guitar since I started when I was about 12, and we were playing professionally on local TV shows.
Where was that?
In Phoenix.
Okay.
At age 14.
Sweet.
On the road at age 15. I don't know how my parents let me do that.
Kicked you. Oh, sorry. Okay. And so were you still playing trombone when you were doing that, or had you already let it go?
Well, no, I played through college, and shortly after college and right after I married, I had sent some demos to a friend that became a producer at RCA, and he negotiated a year contract for the group. So we moved to L.A. and recorded the album.
But nowadays, it's guitar, and you can see Dave Drury all over the place, including, tell us where... now, tomorrow night is a very special concert. This is different from what Dave usually does and with whom he plays. So this, again, is at the Performing Arts Center tomorrow, 7 p.m., and this is at the PAC for the PAC. So if you are one of the many regional, local people who understand how important it is, then that's an extra reason besides a great concert. Tell us, just for folks who live around here, where else they can hear you and with whom.
Oh, okie doke. Well, I've been playing for about 10 years at the Bridgewater Bistro every Thursday night with an upright string bass player named Todd Peterson.
Right.
And then I play Saturdays there by myself, solo.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay. And that is... What do they call that street?
It's 20 Basin Street.
Basin Street, that's right. Did you guys get to name that? Or?
Well, no, I didn't get it, but I named the group with the inspiration of that road.
Right, right. And the name of the group is?
Basin Street Northwest.
There you go. Well, it's kind of good considering you're a jazz player. So, well, thank you. And then singing, the unexpected amenity.
Yeah, we're so fortunate. We're going to have Dinah Urell in both sets, sing a song. She's going to do Love for Sale, the first set, and My Funny Valentine, because Valentine's
Day. Very good,
in the second set.
Yeah.
And we had a great time rehearsing the other day. We had a lot of laughs, too. She's
good.
A lot of fun.
She is, and she's a wonderful singer and performer, too. It's going to be a terrific concert. Tomorrow evening, my guest, Dave Drury, and again, put the pressure on him to... come back to KMUN when you see him.
Right.
Unexpected Amenities and the Partners for the PAC. That's all of us who are using the PAC for our performances and our rehearsals, many of the North Coast Symphonic Band, North Coast Chorale, several other groups are get together on a regular basis. And this is the presentation, Unexpected Amenities, a quartet of world-class musicians, a musical tour. Sounds good. I love it. Thank you so much, Dave.
Thank you, too.
Looking forward to the concert.
Thank you.
Okay. You are listening to Coast Community Radio, and I've got some music from Kevin Burke. And I'll tell you that if you don't already have your ticket to see Kevin at the... Peninsula Performing Arts Center tomorrow night, then you're too late for that. However, there is a fabulous thing going on at the North County Recreation District. That's NCRD in Nehalem. And you can check it out, ncrd.org. It's the Nehalem Winterfest, Friday to Sunday. And Kevin's on tonight at, I don't know what time. You'll have to check that out. I wrote it down. 7:30 tonight. And then Terry Robb is at 1:30 tomorrow, Quarter Flash tomorrow evening, and Mel Brown on Sunday at 2 p.m. That's quite a festival. So here's a little music from our friend Kevin Burke, who's been here numerous times, too, back in the day. One can hardly sit still when Kevin Burke gets on it. And again, he will be at the NCRD, that's the North County Recreation District, tonight. And you want to check with them, make sure they have tickets. They're a much bigger venue. They're not huge by any means, but they're much bigger than the Peninsula Performing Arts Center, where he is performing tomorrow night, and it is sold out. My next guest gets a big congratulations.
Thank you, Kim.
I have in my hands a beautiful, brand new book. When did this?
Just.
Just exactly.
About 2 weeks ago.
Mary Lou McCauley is here. 900 Moon Journey. I'll let her tell us what the title means. Poems and Encounters. And you may have seen Mary Lou in one of her many incarnations. I believe 100 years ago, didn't you have the bookstore in Cannon Beach? Something like
close
that.
Close to that, yeah.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah. And then you now are much appreciated for putting together the Rick's open mic.
I MC it, yeah. It's
yeah.
Wonderful.
Which is terrific, and that is actually coming up.
On the 6th.
On the 6th. It's the first Tuesday of the month for anyone. It's totally open. Anyone can go. And am I right? Anyone can read.
Anyone can read.
Just come and sign
we've
up.
Had a lot of people come just to listen.
Yeah, that'd be me.
So that's right. Pretty neat. And they don't have to read their own. It doesn't have to be original.
Oh,
they might have
okay.
a favorite poet that they want to
okay.
read.
Okay, nice. And it's like 5 minutes max.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's like herding cats.
Yeah. I noticed, but
yeah, yeah.
It's a good thing.
You've been
it's
there.
A wonderful, wonderful thing. That's at Winecraft, at the foot of 10th Street in Astoria. But this is, it's it's just so beautiful. I love holding it in my hand, even. It's just so gorgeous. So tell us, and you can start anywhere, but I am curious, 900 Moon Journey. What is that?
Well, I've always really dwelt on the idea of time and distance traveled. You know, there's a, I think it's an equation, velocity plus time equals distance, something like that.
Something.
And there have been times where I've seen something that's like 10 Moon Creek or 10 Moon Pass. And that's always just kind of stayed as a kernel. And I started thinking, well, today's my birthday.
Today?
And I thought if I was going to say how long I had been on this planet, it's probably a little bit more like 903 quarters, but we're not going to go there. And so I just kind of began to count it up, and for a while when I turned 50, it was like 50 years. Sounds like a lot, but 50 Februarys didn't.
I love it.
So I'm always trying to find a way to establish my time on Earth in something other than how we've been taught to calculate
chronological
it.
Calendar. That's interesting. Well, now you've got me curious, though. The 900. Did you actually count the moons? Because there aren't 12 moons in
And somebody asked me if I did the blue moons, and
there you go.
I used like the 13-month calendar and just used my little calculator and said, "Good enough.
Good enough. Close enough for folk music and poetry."
That's right. Anybody wants to pick a fight with me over?
Right. Go do your own math.
Yeah. Wait a few moons.
Is today actually your birthday? Mm-hmm. Well, happy birthday! In addition to that, and the reason it's we're celebrating is that Mary Lou is going to be presenting her poetry tonight at Kala, which is 1017 Marine Drive in Astoria, a wonderful little venue that has all different kinds of works. And that will be at 7:30 this evening.
The doors open at 7.
Open at 7. Good. So, this is your second book.
Mm-hmm.
When was your first book?
2 years ago. I'm going to say June of 2015.
How long have you been writing poetry?
Long, long time.
What took you so long to get the first book out?
Courage.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Confidence or just, it never seemed within my reach, and then all of a sudden it was in my reach, and I said, okay.
Wow. So you turned your focus sort of to mm-hmm. putting the poetry down into mm-hmm. a form.
Right.
And are the poems in this new book all written since then, or there's some that were left out of the first one?
No, this is, and I think that's what makes this really fun for me, is this is, in the 2 years, this has been accumulated since the last book came out.
Nice. And it's the Other Door Press. Where is that?
That's me.
Oh, you have your own?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, folks are going to be knocking on your other door now. You better watch out. Okay. And also, I want to mention part of the beauty of this book is what I'm looking at on the cover image, Moonlight and Poppies, Oil on Pastel with Silver Leaf by our local esteemed artist, Robert Paulman, who has some kind of relationship with Mary Lou McCauley. Mary Lou, we have just a few minutes, but mm-hmm. do you have something you could read?
I have two short ones or one teeny one.
No, give us.
I'll give you a short. Okay, the first one is.
And tell me what page, because I.
Okay, this is on page 14.
Okay.
The title is A Poem Is. The shared spirit of voice, inside out, instant in the marked page, my voice in your hand.
Mm. Nice. Oh, that's interesting. I'm glad you gave me the page, because I'm holding it right here in my hand.
Then you'll hear me say it over and over.
Good.
The next one is on page 32, and it's called It's Always Dark. It's always dark when you're a root, transcribing the message of sunlight, the long slashes of wind, the punctuation of rain. You write in the darkness when you're a root, passing the pages upward.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. With all of our gardeners here, especially.
Yes. Sometimes I'm in the dark. So.
Well, and when you live around here, you're kind of in the dark a lot of the times. It's that darkness here. Are most of the poems, I'm just breezing through, short?
Yeah, there's a couple of longer prose pieces, and then one poem, I think, takes up a couple of pages. But they're all, you know, all that. And the, there are two halves to the book. The first one, the epigram is, "If I knew where poems came from, I'd go there," and that's by an Irish poet. And the other one is a quote from Miles Davis. It says, the tune we play at the beginning is the territory. Everything that comes after is the adventure."
Oh, nice.
Isn't that great?
Nice. And so I hope Dave is listening.
It's kind of broken into those two kinds of parts. And some of it, a couple of them, I was really cross. I was really angry. And it's the current kind of current events.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But mostly it's I eavesdrop, I watch people, and a lot of it is what I see. And a couple of them were just instantly written on the spot. One, when I was in Riversea Gallery, I was looking out the door, and that poem is Susie. So,
can you read it?
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
See, Susie's on page 12.
Okay.
Susie. I knew him. He had an old dog named Susie. Her hips were weak, so she wove down the sidewalk with a flirtatious gait, a soft, silky, big blonde girl. They're both gone now. There's a pile of old blankets, plastic pails, black trash bags, in a heap on the curb. Someone has been hired to haul this home away. Each time they lift an armful, golden dog hair, backlit by the sun, swirls away, spins and tangles to the pavement, and disappears.
Mm. Wow. Thank you. That's beautiful. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Especially for us dog people.
And that one was reprinted in Upper Left Edge on their home section.
Nice.
Their home issue.
So you're constantly writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that some people write what they call prose poems, but and they can go on for quite a while. How does it come to you to be so concise from the beginning, or do you need to work things down?
It's 50-50. Some are very precise, almost like a channel. And sometimes I'll wake up. There's one in here that I'm going to read tonight called "The First Time," and I woke up with just that sentence. And then I have to wait. I can't turn it into a mountain or a molehill. Mm-hmm. It's just, I kind of have to wait. Other ones take, you know, refinement. Mm-hmm. But the beginning and the end are usually pretty much there for me. But, you know, spacing and breathing and all those different ways of punctuation.
Mm-hmm.
So, but,
and keeping them, I'm just amazed, because being able to keep some of these really short and yet being able to say what you need to say, what you want to say.
That's what I think a poem is.
Yeah.
It won't shout, and it should just, or for me at least, I know when I've got it, and I know when I don't have it.
Mm. Have you ever taught?
No.
That was quick. Okay.
I could never teach people how to see.
Well, in sharing your own, how you're teaching, actually, because, and congratulations again. The book is 900 Moon Journey, and if you missed the explanation, come tonight. Maybe Mary Lou will tell you again. I had no idea where that came from, actually. It's at 7:30, doors open at 7, tonight at Kala, that's K-A-L-A. That's where Hipfish, our monthly arts and culture monthly, is written, put together, published, edited. And it is 1017 Marine Drive on the south side. Can't miss it once you're in the neighborhood. Come and welcome Mary Lou McCauley. You're going to have some books there to sign and sell to?
Absolutely.
Great. Okay. And then join us on February 6th at Winecraft at the foot of 10th Street right around the corner, actually, for Rick's poetry open mic. And poetry is alive and well, mm-hmm. which is a good thing.
It is a good
Very
thing.
Good thing. Thanks so much for coming in. And happy returns of the day.
Yes, it's Groundhog's Day. It keeps repeating.
Oh, my Lord. Gosh, I wonder what else is going on today.
Thank you so much, Carol. And thanks to our wonderful community radio station.
Oh, yes. Thank
truly,
you.
Truly.
Okay.
Thanks. See you tonight.
I hope so. Yeah, I'll be there. I'm sure you will, too. Good. And I do have a... piece of music from Seth Walker. He's going to be at the Fort George on Sunday. And I really enjoyed his music in the past. So have a listen. And then I've got a couple more guests coming up.
Turn this thing around. No, that ain't the way. We all know where this is bound. So turn this thing around.
And that was Seth Walker. And again, he'll be at the Fort George on Sunday evening. I hope all of you out there are keeping track of everything that's going on in this town. Oh, yeah? Okay. And then spread out to the rest of the county and Tillamook County and Pacific County. And your life will be very rich if it already isn't. But hopefully... everyone listening to this show is already involved in the arts, in supporting the arts, and in enjoying the arts. My next guest is one of those people, and that would be Jeanette. Oh, boy. I have, how many names do I have for you now? Let's see. I like this. Jeanette Gran Davis, mm-hmm. G-R-A-N.
Yes.
Wow, is that a real name, or are you a grandma or something?
Well, no, that's my real name.
Wow, yeah. I like that. That's cool. And I'm holding some very interesting, and this is your work? This is Joe's. And this one is yours.
Just ours. Business.
That one's yours. And that's the Astoria Art Loft. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about right now, is the Astoria Art Loft, which is here in Astoria. And actually, holy cow, I just remembered, it is right above Dots and Doodles.
That is very...
And Dots and Doodles is actually the underwriter, one of the underwriters for this show. But I didn't even realize that. I want to make sure you understand that, folks. Yeah, that's not how you get on this show. By the way to get on this show is to send an email, carol@coastradio.org. And as soon as my email is working again, I'll be able to get back to you. And do it as far in advance as you can, because these shows do book, because we have such a rich, rich area. So, Jeanette, tell me what you're doing at Art Loft. And Art Loft is a collective, isn't it?
The Art Loft is, we have 10 studios, open studio.
10.
10. Mm-hmm. And we have the resident artists, and we have a... full-time gallery, and then we give classes also. And each artist has their own specialty, and it's just, we paint and we have a good time.
How does someone get involved in that? Do they call you and see if you have any space available?
We have people call or email us, and they're wondering if we have any spaces available, and we've been very fortunate that we keep them filled.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a wonderful variety of artists, and everyone gets along wonderfully. Everybody is just, excited about what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. So, and able to share with everybody else mm-hmm. who's there. So what is your art form?
Well, I dabble in acrylics and oils. I love most of it except pastels. That's not something I've gotten into. And... it's just it's a great space to do whatever kind of comes to mind when you're doing art. And some of it's very formal and some of it's just fun and, doing art. I've been doing more abstract lately than actual painting, where you have something.
Have you been making art for a long time?
I haven't. I started in about 2001, 2002.
What inspired you to start?
I have always been interested in art, and life kind of got in the way when you have family, children, and then other obligations, and I went to work full time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I retired, I said, okay, it's time for me. Exactly. And to do something that I've always wanted to do. And I've always had an interest in that.
Had you been living here?
No. Okay. We retired here.
Okay. Lucky for you that this setup exists, isn't it?
It is, yes. Yeah. It was a gift that this
nice.
Came available, because we were in the old meat upholstery building upstairs above Dots and Doodles. And a gentleman talked to my business partner and said he had some partitions that were in a business, and, would you like them? And we're going, anything for free is great.
So and are again, you one of the original people to create, you and Joe?
Yes, we are the original
two people who created this space for all the others. Wow.
Yeah.
Fortuitous. My goodness. And now look at you. Surrounded by artists and making. And how often are you up there?
We're there Tuesday through Saturday, generally 10 to 4, and usually a little before 10 and a little after 4.
Right.
There's always.
So I understand that there are going to be discussions and workshops on art from junk, J-U-N-Q-U-E, and other discards. What's that about? And Bridget?
Last Saturday and this past Tuesday, Bridget Willsey, she came to us quite a while ago and said, in this area, repurposing and recycling is just huge. And she recycles everything she gets her hands on, I think. And would we be interested in having a little class, a little seminar, whatever, discussion on How do you get started, you know, or what do you think you can use to recycle? So we did that, mm-hmm. and we had four or five ladies talk about the things that they recycle. And you can recycle anything.
Give us some examples that are unusual.
Well, one of the ladies recycles the metal strainers that you, not strainers, the metal steamers that you put in and they kind of fold out.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Well,
she takes all those apart and she has a tiny little bicycle that,
Model of a bicycle?
No, they're little. It's a little bicycle.
Okay.
And she's also short, so that's a good thing, too. Yeah. But she made, like, fairy wings out of these, on those little metal pieces. She said she likes metal pieces with holes in it. And she took colanders, strainer, and she's made a helmet for her bicycle, adding all these different beads and some of those little colander.
Now, a question I have often had, because I have a lot of stuff, mm-hmm. and some of it, you know, a lot of it, hopefully most of it, is still in pretty good condition, and I can use it for the original, quote, purpose, mm-hmm. Whether it's clothing or utensils or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's the stuff that starts to fall apart. The handle comes off, mm-hmm. or a rip in the colander or something like that. And that's the stuff I would love to have someone, or perhaps myself, recycle, repurpose, upcycle, I think they call it, make into art.
Right, upcycle, sure.
How does that work for you folks? Do you take perfectly good stuff and...
Example, Bridget, who does repurposes old jewelry that's broken mm-hmm. apart, pieces and bits and pieces. We don't personally take that, although there was a little discussion about maybe we should have a little bin where people can bring things so that if some of these artists come in and they could say, okay, I could use this.
Oh, that'd be great. I'll bring you... Oh, sorry. Collect all the broken things in my house and send them.
Yeah. And then... we've mm-hmm. talked about it, but we haven't really, haven't got that far into it. And from these discussions, there's going to be a class on image transfers, where you put an image. And if you do that, and if you intend to sell it, you need to make sure that you purchase those transfers or those pictures for copyright laws.
Right.
And we'll have a class on that and a class on Zentangle.
Oh, I love that. You know, the first time I ever saw Zentangle was at Art Loft.
Mm-hmm.
The one woman who was doing some
she's still
gorgeous,
there and she's still
stuff.
Still doing that.
So when are these classes? Are they set dates yet?
Well,
or you're still...
on our website, they will
good.
Be. We haven't since this is... We just had those little seminars.
Right.
Those dates haven't been set yet because the instructors have to give us the date and the costs, whatever it is for supplies, et cetera.
What is your website?
It's Astoria Art Loft. It's AstoriaArtLoft.com.
.com. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's the good. And is there a phone, good phone number?
503. 325-4442.
Okay. And again, this is at, it's on Marine Drive, although your entrance is on 3rd,
it
isn't
is.
It? It's 106 3rd Street, but it's right just south up the hill, but south of Marine Drive. And if you, for some reason, can't find it, go into Dots and Doodles and ask them. They've been very helpful, I'm sure.
Yes,
so,
they have.
Yeah. Well, very exciting. I look forward to hearing more about this. And down the line, maybe we can, some of you can come in and share some of the exciting things. And I do hope you'll set up one of those boxes because I hate to throw anything out, but I'm not using it. You know,
the little saying that, you know, one person's junk or is someone else's treasure.
Right.
It's truly true.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely. Thank you so much. And let me get the whole name. Oh, see, now here it just says Jeanette Davis. I like the Gran part. Jeanette Gran Davis. From Astoria Art Loft. Again, 106 3rd Street, Astoria. Or just check it out, AstoriaArtLoft.com. Thank you so much, Janet.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much.
And my last guest is about to come in. She actually has her cello with her. Quick announcement before that. The Warrington accident is clear at Marlin and 101. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you missed it, and that's fine. But for those of you who were avoiding it, the accident has been cleared. So my last guest actually brought her cello with her, and I looked at the clock and I said, how about we play some of your music so that people can get a feeling for what you do, and then we'll have a chance to talk. Anna Fritz is here. She is playing at the Sou'wester in Seaview tomorrow evening, and it's February 3rd, and she's played with the Decemberists and the Portland Cello Project. I love those guys. And so I think she was one of the founders, actually. So have some music from Anna Fritz, and she'll be right in to share her story with you. By the way, tonight is opening night at the Coaster Theater for Fit to Kill, along with Mary Lou at Gala. Peninsula Pack has a 5 to 7 happy hour. ACLU at The Adrift. NCRD Winterfest that we talked about. Public Coast Brewing Company has Beth Willis and the Sandtrap Sisters Corner. There's also music practically every day at The Adrift, music at the Winecraft and the Bistro, and just all over this area. Lucky, lucky us. Here's Anna Fritz. Having a hard time shutting down this music. Anna Fritz is my guest. This is her music. Again, she's playing tomorrow evening at the Sou'wester in Seaview. And we do have her two albums, and I've played some on a folk show, and we'll be playing more in the future. Welcome, Anna Fritz.
Thank you so much.
It's two names, but I say it as, yeah. It's lovely to have you here. You live in Portland?
I do, yeah.
Are you from Portland?
Not originally. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin originally, but I've been in Portland for about 18 years now, so it's...
That's good.
Yeah, Cascadia is really my home at this point.
For a young person, that's a long time.
Yeah.
And when did you start playing cello? When in your life?
When I was a tiny kid.
Really?
Yeah, I actually started on violin when I was 4.
Wow. Okay.
Back when there was music in the schools everywhere.
Bing, 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 the lights are going off.
Yeah.
This is one of my big ones. This is how so many of our musicians get started. So.
Yeah, I took Suzuki lessons in the public schools back in Wisconsin. And but then I switched to cello when I was 6. So
was it like a... a three-quarter or two-third size?
Oh,
or a half?
I don't know. I mean, they have them as small as an eighth size. I don't know. I can't remember what size
woman.
I was on. But
I thought maybe you were a tall child, too.
Yeah, so it might have been a larger... Yeah.
Why did you switch? What's it? They needed a cello, or did you like
no,
the sound?
No, I was not happy on the violin. And my violin teacher, it turned out, had been a cellist. That was her primary instrument.
Wow.
And she didn't, I guess, didn't want to lose me, and so she played her cello for me and said, "Do you think you might want to do this instead?" And I was like,
yes.
Definitely.
Yeah, the cello is just a gorgeous, rich, luscious instrument, the sounds from that. So, and you certainly have managed to make that happen. Did you continue playing all through your life, through school?
Mostly, yeah. I mean, I studied classical music all through my childhood and into my young adulthood, and studied with a professor of cello at UW-Madison, Uri Vardy, who's a student of Janos Starker for cello geeks out there.
Good.
So that was my background. But then when I came out to Portland, ended up starting an indie rock band and learning a little bit how to improvise and write songs, and really went in a different direction. And that playing with Portland Cello Project I was one of the original members of that group and toured with them for 7 years. And so that was a big part of bringing together my classical background and all of these new pathways that that I've been working on with the cello.
I can imagine, because they are one of a kind in terms of you just never know what the music is going to be, but everyone is a consummate musician.
Yeah.
And with a sense of humor, for sure.
Definitely.
Because they've been here several times.
And I've played here, actually, the Liberty right here in town.
Yes.
I've played there with Cello Project.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. I was there.
great.
Sorry, I didn't
that's okay.
Say hello.
There are a bunch of cellos on stage when I tour with that group. So
what a surprise. Mm-hmm. Are there any other instruments in the...
Typically, we would tour with a drummer. I know that I'm speaking in the past because I haven't been playing with the group for the last few years. So I'm not totally up on what their what their cast is right now.
Right.
But we definitely played a lot with a drummer and often toured with a singer. So
what are you doing now?
Now I'm very focused on my solo work. So I've really embraced this identity as a folk singer. So I'm a cellist and a folk singer.
Yes.
Two words you don't often hear in the same sentence.
It's true, especially soloist. Soloist guitar.
Right.
But not a cello.
So, and a lot of that has come about for me just from my spiritual practice and my creative process have kind of come together in a way to where I'm the songs that I write are really from a really deep place of connection to the land and connection to spirit. And and the cello is also just, I feel blessed that that is the tool that ended up in my hands, because it is a very good one for evoking the kinds of things that I'm talking about in my songs, which have to do with connection to the land, connection to spirit, social justice, seeing the unity of all people, and having our action that we're taking in the world be really driven by that deep love and connection. I know, right now we're in a moment of, I know I'm feeling a lot of frustration and despair and fear, and it can feel sometimes like we need to grasp around and just do whatever we can in every moment to try to move things in a better direction. And I think what I'm finding is it's important for me to sit with the songs, sit with the music to help ground me in a place of love and a place of deep listening so that I can hear how I'm actually called to act. Because I think those actions are going to be a lot more powerful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautifully said. Mm. Beautifully said. Thank you. That was, that's part of what I, when I saw this, I went, oh yeah, I see the titles of these songs and I go, okay, I think I like this woman. I like where she's coming from. And so, and that you're finding that the cello has its own voice that is so pure and rich that it works for you. Do you ever get feeling like you need more instruments, or is this working for you?
Well, if you had told me a few years ago that I would be doing exclusively solo performance, I would have laughed. I mean, I've always enjoyed so much the connection with other musicians in my living room as well as on stage,
Right.
So I do love that, but I've really just been led in this direction to really pare the songs down to their essence and to focus in on the single voice of the cello and my single voice, those two working together in duet.
Exactly. So. And you are already a duet. And you clearly have a lot to say, and so you get to say it your way, which works. Who is Baptist Arms? Are you related to them, or is that a totally separate group?
It's a totally separate group.
Okay.
And Ivy, who does the
Ivy
booking,
Ross-Ritchie.
At the Southwester, connected me with them to do this show. And from what I can tell, they don't have a big web presence, so I wasn't able to listen to a lot of their music. But Ivy sent me a little recording, and I just fell in love. Their harmonies are their vocal harmonies are beautiful. So I'm excited to hear them.
How is it going to work? This is tomorrow evening. Mm-hmm. My guest, Anna Fritz, on the cello and voice. And I have 8 p.m. at the Southwester. That's in Seaview, the fabulous Southwester, where there's everything going on all the time, sometimes at the same time, all the wellness retreats, the writing and music retreats, as well as performances. How is it going to work tomorrow evening? Do you know? Are you on first and then?
Yeah, I'll be doing a solo set first.
At 8 o'clock.
At 8 o'clock.
Okay.
And then there will be a second set by Baptist Arms, that duo. And my understanding is it's free. And
Yes, it is. And it's very comfortable, too. I just want to mention, I jotted down, cello-wielding activist folk singer. There we go. My guest, Anna Fritz, and I just looked at the clock and saw that we are out of time. Oh. I'm going to put on Anna's piece from her album, On a High Hill, and this is Leave It in the Ground. Amen, sister. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
KMUN Astoria, KTCB, TillamookCoastRadio.org. Thanks, folks.